everyone. This is Coach Fab. Welcome to episode 26 of Casinos USA's podcast, A Windy Day Atop the Stratosphere. In our promo for this podcast, we talked about this question. Is online gambling for you? Sports betting? The game of craps? Well, let's just see what Doug, a caller from Texas, told us about his first experience with online gambling. We'll get right to it. Here's Doug.
Hi, Casinos USA team and Coach Fab. This is Doug, two pair of sevens, calling in again from Houston. I just wanted to let you guys know about my first online craps experience. I got a $50 free play bet from an online casino called BetUS, and you had to bet that on, I think, a range of minus 200 to plus 200 on a sports play or something like that. So I bet the Raiders to win outright. It was like plus 140 or something, plus 130, something like that. And it hit. Of course, the Raiders won over the weekend. So then I had like $65 in my account, and I saw that they had craps. So I thought I'd give this a try. So it was a dollar minimum, $400 max. You could do any of the bets. Like, you could buy the 6 and 8 or the 9 and 5, and it's like bubble craps where they just pay you out to the penny of what your 5% vig should be on a buy bet. They have pass line with 2x odds. So I'll tell you briefly what I did. I bought in, put a dollar on the pass line just to try it out, and my first roll was a yo, so I immediately won a dollar. I tried again, put another dollar on the pass line. So then it was a 6, was the point. So once the point was set, I figured I'll sort of go with my normal strategy, but a little bit wimped out on it. So I did, I think, $6 or $7 on the 8, $2 on the 9, and $2 on the 10. And I actually bought all three by accident. Just didn't know what I was doing, so I just happened to do that. And I put $2 behind the pass line for odds. So then the next roll, I hit a 10. So I got $4 minus the vig. And then the thing is with the online craps is once you hit something, it doesn't stay up like at the casino. They just take it down. You have to re-put up all your bets if you want to, you know, parlay it or same bet or that sort of thing. But since they didn't put up again, I just left it off. So the next roll, they hit my 8. So I won the 6-5 on the 8 minus the vig. And again, I left it off. So now I'm down to my dollar pass line, $2 odds, and the 9. So then they roll a point of 6. So I got my I won my pass line bet. The next roll, I just didn't do anything new, and I think I rolled a point of 6 or something like that. And then the very next roll hit my 9. So I won on the buy 9 bet too. And then everything was down, and I just exited. So overall, I had a winning experience. Somehow, I hit all of my numbers, even hit a yo at the beginning. Let's see, they didn't. I don't think they have any hop bets. Like, you can't hop the 6-4 or something like that. I think you can do the horn bets, maybe hard ways, that sort of thing. Again, that's pretty much all I saw. It was a fun experience. I don't know how much I'm going to be doing it from now on, but if you have some money to spare and you want to, you know, give it a shot, I suggest you do it. Give it a shot. Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work with the podcast. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Doug, for that informative and detail-oriented call. I think anyone considering online gambling needs to hear something specific as your call was. Very much appreciated. So let's come right back after a short break and discuss what Doug revealed to us about online gambling. Well, let me first say that Casinos USA is not affiliated with BetUS in any manner or any other gambling site. We're not a gambling site, even though we have a .bet, CasinosUSA.bet. That's just our web address. We are not a gambling site ourselves, and we have no affiliation with any. But it seems a great certainty that online gambling will just increase, and it's very big right now. New Jersey has legalized online gambling in a specific way, and that was just a few months ago, and everybody reached 150,000 accounts. And other state legislators are certainly looking at this. There's no question about that. The other issue is about legality, and before states legalized online gambling, I know the federal law was that you could not gamble from any site that was based in the United States. And then there were state laws in some states that just made it illegal to bet online with anyone, no matter where they were located. And I searched the internet, and there's very few examples of players being prosecuted for this. Doesn't make it right, but I'm just being as honest as I can be. Some of the dangers with online gambling are associated with terrorist groups because they can move large sums of money around the world through these sites. And, you know, that's something, you know, I don't know how that affects you and in your decisions, but that's something that the FBI talks about. And, you know, maybe that's the case. I'm not sure. The other issue I have with online gambling, say like a game of craps, is the game rigged? You know, that's my question. Is the game rigged? And apparently for caller Doug from Texas, in this first experience with it, he won. You know, so at least at this point, you know, he wouldn't say it was rigged. I want to remind everyone that if you get an offer of like so much money they're giving you to bet, sort of like free play with a slot machine, you can't cash that out until you win at least that much. I mean, so that's very important. You know, someone sends you a $50 or $100 voucher for an online site, it doesn't mean that you have $100 you can cash out. You know, you have to play it and then some, you know, to get that money back. To me, the most logical choice to begin is with online gambling is the same choice that Doug made, and that's sports betting. I know Nevada has legalized gambling, but you have to be from Nevada to be legal. I mean, legalized online gambling, but you have to be from Nevada to make that legal as far as being a player. I do know that if you place a sports bet in Nevada and then leave Nevada, but you have your voucher, you can then mail it back to the casino. And as shaky as that might sound, I mean, they have a legal obligation to pay you as long as the bet was placed in Nevada. And so it may be that same way that you can make a call from your hotel on a strip to the sports book, and then, you know, they would have an obligation to pay you after you left. I'm not sure about that, but that's probably a possibility. But I think sports betting is the way to go because you would know you clearly won or lost. You know, you wouldn't say, well, it was a computer software and it was rigged, because you would know if you won or lost, and you would know then if the site was legitimate as far as paying winners. So that's the point. And, you know, that's the other side of it, is if you have a big win and it's illegal for you to do it, like, who are you going to complain to? I mean, you can't go to the local justice of the peace, you know what I mean, or the local police department or the FBI for that matter, because it's illegal for you to do it. So that's another issue. But I think it is the future, and I think it's going to become more and more common. And I think the other side of it, the other issue, is that if you have a gambling addiction, being able to do it from your desk, your car, you know, your phone 24/7 certainly doesn't help you. Obviously, in a casino, you can ban yourself from a casino, but I don't see how you can ban yourself from your cell phone. So that would be another issue. But I would bet very shortly, in the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be commonplace and it's going to be quite legal. And I really appreciate Doug giving us a call, because I myself have never gambled online, and I just wondered what it'd be like. And I was really happy to hear that he was successful with it. And I know Doug's a mature and deep-thinking guy, and he's not going to get himself in trouble, you know, betting thousands of dollars online. I mean, I like what he did. He made dollar bets on buying numbers, 6-8, I think it was, 9-10. So you can't do too much harm that way. So I hope you enjoyed that. And we're going to move on to our next session. We're going to stay with craps a little bit. Through our Facebook, we're Casinos USA. We're a public group. That's written as two words, Casinos USA for Facebook. You have to request to join. But if you can reply in English and post in English, then we'll accept you. We can't accept any foreign languages because we can't interpret them, and we don't know if it's anti-American or whatever it is. So that's why it has to be in English. But we got a nice question about established point numbers and craps from Susan on Messenger. So we're going to respond to that right now, Susan, and give you the information you're seeking. So we're assuming that Susan understands what's the come-out roll. The come-out roll, of course, is the first roll of a new game, and that black puck is on the side. It's not placed over any number. So that if you just go to a table and you're looking to see if there's a game underway or if there's a come-out roll about to take place, if you see the black puck on top of a number, it's the game is underway. If you see the puck over to the left, it's a come-out roll. And on the come-out roll, if you're a pass line bettor, and then that's generally how people start to play craps, and say it's at a $5 table, so you know you put $5 on the pass line yourself, you don't hand it to anybody. And on the come-out roll, if the shooter rolls a 2, 3, or 12, those are craps numbers, you lose the pass line bet of $5. If the shooter rolls a 7 or an 11, and 11 is also called a go, then you win even money, so you win $5. But if the shooter doesn't roll a 2, 3, 12, or a 7, 11, then they actually roll what's going to be called an established point number. So they would roll a 4, a 5, a 6, an 8, a 9, or a 10. And those are the point numbers. And as soon as they did that, the black puck would be moved and placed outside that number closer to the box man. And this is where things reverse for you. On the come-out roll, a 7 would have won for you, but now, once the point has been established, and that'd be a 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, or 10 that's rolled, if you roll a 7 before you roll that point number, you lose. And that's really the basic game of craps right there if you're a pass-line player. So you win on the come-out with a 7 or 11, but once the point is established, the 7, not the 11, the 7 is the devil, and you'd lose on the 7. So your objective would be to roll the dice, to roll that established point number, and you would win. Now, the $5 that you have on the pass line would only pay you even money. So the next thing you'll notice when you go to a craps table, that there's money strangely stacked behind that bet, almost like it's not on anything, it's just on the felt. And that's called the odds bet behind the line. And if you're a little nervous about making odds bets, I just suggest you start with $10. And $10 works with all the numbers, so you don't have to worry about, you know, the exact amount you should have for an odds bet. So it would be two times the pass line. So if it's a $5 table, put $10 behind it. And the difference is that you get true odds behind the pass line. And that's very rare in a casino. So if you had $10 behind that pass line bet, that's your odds bet. On the 4 or 10, you'd be paid 2 to 1, so you'd win $20 if that number was rolled before a 7. If your number was 5 or 9, they play 3 to 2, so you'd win $15 for a $10 bet. And if your number was a 6 or an 8, that's 6 to 5, you would win $12. And, you know, the question when you're a new player to Game of Craps is like, why do these numbers pay differently? And let me explain that to you. It's important for you to understand that it's easier to roll a 7 than any other number because there are more ways to make a 7 with the dice than with any other number. But as far as the established point numbers go, it's also true, and let me tell you how that would work. Let's start with that 4 and with the 10 because they're the ones that pay you 2 to 1, and the reason they do that is there's only three ways to make a 4. You know, a dice could say 1-3, 2-2, or 3-1. And there's only three ways to make a 10. The dice could say 4-6, 5-5, or 6-4, and that would, you know, add 10. And so those are the hardest two numbers in terms of numbers, a way to make that number in the established points. Now, the 5 and the 9, you know, remember they paid 3 to 2 in true odds, and there's four ways to make each one. For example, a 5 is made, the dice showing 1-4, 2-3, 3-2, and 4-1. And the same with the 9. It's a 3-6, a 4-5, a 5-4, or a 6-3. So if you just pick dice up and, you know, in your hand, any dice really, a pair of dice, and just move around, you'll realize that very quickly. And you'll notice that the 6 and an 8 didn't pay true odds as well as the 4 or 5 or the 9 or the 10. And that's because there's really a number of ways to make a 6. There's 5 ways to make a 6. And that would be 1-5, a 2-4, a 3-3, a 4-2, a 5-1. And the same numbers with the 8. It'd be a 2-6, a 3-5, a 4-4, a 5-3, and a 6-2. So there's 5 ways to make a 6 with the dice. There's 5 ways to make an 8. But there's 6 ways to make a 7. So, you know, 6 and 8 are considered really strong bets because if you bet both of them, you really have a pretty strong chance. It's still a stronger chance that a 7 will be rolled, but not by very much. So that's why those bets behind the pass line only pay 6 to 5. So I hope that makes sense to you. And we'll talk about placing point numbers in our next episode. But, you know, starting at the play craps, you know, you go to the table if you're a pass line bettor. You wait till the puck is to the left, off to the side. It's a come out roll. You put your $5 chip on the pass line if it's a $5 minimum table. And you're hoping for a 7 or 11, and because that would make you a winner. A 2, 3, 12, you would lose your $5. If neither of those numbers are rolled, or none of those numbers, I should say, are rolled, and a point number is rolled, a 4, 5, 6, an 8, 9, 10, then that establishes the point, and the game changes because you have to roll, or the shooter has to roll that number that was established before he or she throws a 7. A 7 was your friend on the come-out roll, but it's the killer once the established point number is made. And that's the basic game of craps from the pass line. And of course, why would you just stay with even money there? So go behind the pass line with your odds bet, and we're saying that you put $10 behind it. So really you have $15 at risk. If the established point number is rolled, the pass line pays you even money, so you'd win $5 there. And if then you would also win in the odds behind the pass line, and those would be true odds, and you'd be paid accordingly, as we already reviewed. So I hope that helps you, Susan. I think it really makes a lot of sense for you to grab a pair of dice and just to look at the different ways that numbers can be made, and that will give you a little more of an insight into why the craps odds are the way they are. Let's just take a short break and come right back for Casino Group Therapy on a windy day atop the stratosphere. So we're ready for Casino Group Therapy. Here we go. So one April morning, Jenny and I were atop the stratosphere, and it was windy. In fact, the outside rides were closed because of the wind, but that center, I think they call that the big shot, was still running. But we didn't run it. We didn't ride it, so that's not why I'm talking about it. But it was a windy day. But it was also a warm day, and we were comfortable. And as we were sitting out there, you know, looking at the strip, et cetera, and then also looking at the distance where my daughter, Jill Nicole, just lives 10 minutes from the strip. So we were trying to find her neighborhood. I don't know if we did or not. You know, we thought we did, but who knows. A young guy came past us, a good-looking young fella, and he had a Purdue sweatshirt on. And I said, "Hey, go Boilermakers." And he said, "Oh, man, are you a Boilermaker?" I said, "No." I told him I'm a Notre Dame grad. He goes, "Oh, I shouldn't talk to you." But actually, that drew him in, and we talked a little bit. And, you know, he was alone. And my wife said, "Hey, you know, you with anybody? Because we're going to go get a drink. You want to join us?" And she said, "I don't want to break up your party or anything." He goes, "Oh, no, I'm by myself." And so we went down, you know, the stratosphere. Observation is above all that, but we went down an elevator stop or a flight of stairs, and we were at, I think they call it the Sky Bar. I might be wrong. I just can't remember. But anyway, so we had a drink, and we were talking, you know, Purdue. When Janie lived in South Bend and I was a student at Notre Dame, we were married my senior year. She worked at South Bend Memorial and also then St. Joe Hospital. And she had a lot of friends that were Purdue grads, et cetera. So you know, we have great respect for Purdue. It's a great engineering school, one of the best in the country, and also veterinary school is just tremendous. We had a dog when we were married, and we took it to a vet in South Bend, and he's a Purdue grad and did a great job with that German Shepherd. But the point I'm making is that we were talking to him about things, and this is kind of a continental divide, and he said, I'm never coming back to Vegas again. And we said, why? I mean, you know, because we love Vegas, and the fact that our daughter's there probably gives us an excuse to go more than most people. But yeah, our daughter and her family, I should say. But, you know, here's the thing. He said, you know, the guys I'm coming with, they act like they're still in a Greek fraternity, you know, at Purdue, because they just drink to oblivion, you know. And I'm a doctor, and I acknowledge I'm a young doctor, but he said, you know, I just can't be associated with that. I mean, it's just a terrible thing. I mean, so they just ruined the trip for me. You know, they act like idiots. They get drunk. They come to Vegas to get drunk. And, you know, we're at the age, I think he said he was 31, you know, so his friends were 29, 30, 31. He said, you know, we're past that. And I think, you know, Janie might have said, well, there's a continental divide between, you know, those who were kind of stuck in adolescence and those who aren't. And I mean, if you're still bragging about how much you drink and you're in your late 20s or 30s, there's something wrong with you. And he said, oh, I agree. And he said, truthfully, medically, risky drinking is defined as anyone who has more than four drinks a day. Because you can argue there's some health benefits, you know, with two or three drinks a day, particularly cardiology-wise, but not liver-wise, of course. But he said, when you go four drinks or more a day, there's a problem. And he said, the people I come with, we're talking about 14, 15, even more, 24 beers a day when they're here. And he said, you know, there's liver damage, there's stroke, there's, you know, for the females, birth defects. He said, you know, they're just at risk. And he said, I just can't do it. I don't enjoy seeing that. You know, I mean, he said, yeah, you know, even at my age, you know, maybe one time I have one or two drinks too many, but, you know, that's all right in Vegas. But there's all, like, for example, the immediate thing for him, he said, was injuries. He said, you know, falling, you know, if they have a rental car, he said, and some of them are still renting motorbikes or scooters. And he said, it's just, I can't be part of it anymore. He said, you know, I'm a young doctor, I'm a professional, I can't do it. And he said, they won't stop it. He said, so I'm not coming with them anymore. And, you know, he did most of the talking because he's just very upset, and he kind of like went unload, and his friends were passed out somewhere at some hotel on the strip or downtown, he didn't say. But the point is, there's a lot of truth to that because, you know, I can see if you're going to Las Vegas and your goal is to drink to oblivion, then you really have to start thinking about what kind of maturity you have. And there's not an excuse for that, you know. In terms of gambling, you just cannot gamble intelligently when you're intoxicated and you're actually obnoxious. You know, who hasn't seen an obnoxious person at the craps table or the blackjack table or any other table? You know, it's disgusting. And if you're going there just for that purpose and, you know, you're past that college Greek fraternity age, you really have to say to yourself, it's time to grow up. It has to stop. Now, you might disagree with me, and I'm not telling you how to live your life, but I'm telling you what a young doctor said to us, and I knew when he was saying it, he was talking the gospel because it's true. And in my situation in life, you know, I hire a lot of young people, college graduates, and, you know, and people that we meet are in our positions are very wealthy, you know, we're fundraisers. And you can't behave that way. That is associated with adolescence, maybe extended adolescence. And it's tragic at any age, but it's particularly tragic when you're old enough to know better. You can't defend it. And so I'm not trying to put a damper on anything. And enjoying yourself in Las Vegas is obviously why you go there. But drinking to the excess just doesn't make sense. And I will not, I agree with the doctor. My friends don't do that. They drink. All my friends drink. But I'm never worried that they're going to be obnoxious drunks or they're going to drink too much, that they won't be able to join us, you know, tomorrow morning or something like that. And if you're married with children, for goodness sakes, I mean, you just don't do that. And if you're just of age and you're a mature person and you're a professional and you have a responsible position, like, why would you go to Las Vegas to do that? There's just so many other things to enjoy here. And that's been the subject of many of our podcasts. But just remember what this young doctor said. You know, four drinks a day is the limit, because once you go beyond four drinks, you're doing damage to yourself. And you do damage to yourself and become intoxicated, you can certainly do damage to other people as well. So just keep that in mind. That's our casino group therapy. I hope you don't get upset with me, but that's how it is. And we're going to come right back, and I want to talk about Anthony Curtis's newsletter for September and talk about his Las Vegas top 10 values, but we always only give you five on this podcast. That's how limited we are. We'll be right back with Anthony Curtis's top 10 values. You know, I repeat myself, Anthony Curtis, Las Vegas advisor, is a newsletter. I don't know him. I've never met him, and I don't work for him. But I don't think there's a better newsletter, plus his rewards book that you get when you join. I get the hard copy of the newsletter. It's $50. I think you can pay less and just get the online, plus you still get the rewards book. But check that out. So it's Anthony Curtis, Curtis, Las Vegas advisor. And in September 2017 newsletter, he lists the top 10 values, and of course here we only give you five. But Ellis Island, oh my goodness, they're still number one. I love, Janie loves, we love Ellis Island. Jerry and Elaine, you know, Jill, and they all love Ellis Island. You got to get there. Ellis Island, 24 hours. It's right behind Bally's on Koval Lane, and they still have that special. If you spend $5, get a player's card. You get a steak, and it's awesome. It's not a cheap steak. It's awesome for $7.99. That's a great, great deal. Shrimp cocktail at the Skyline Casino, 24 hours, $1.49. It's almost close to being free. If you're a shrimp cocktail person, ouch, it's so good. The third best value of our five, Casino Royale, 24 hours a day, $1 beer. $1 beer. Remember, just four. All right, breakfast, Klondike Sunset daily, $1.49. I don't think that's going to be beaten. That's going to stay on the list. And finally, if you stay there, you know about this. If you go to Flamingo to play at those low-limit tables, you know about this. Draft beer daily, 5 cents. Oh, yeah, I'll repeat that. This is not 1902. Draft beer daily, 5 cents at the Flamingo. Can you believe this? On the strip. You don't have to go downtown to drink cheap. Right there. Okay, so we took care of Anthony Curtis, and I hope you got those again. Steak dinner at Ellis Island, shrimp cocktail at the Skyline, a beer at Casino Royale, 24 hours, $1. Can't beat that. Breakfast at the Klondike Sunset, $1.49, and that draft beer at the Flamingo for 5 cents every day. Couple things to share with you. In 2018, in April 20th, 21st, we're going to like sort of a gathering at Mohegan Sun. Oh my goodness, an East Coast gathering. I'm so excited. And of course, Janie and I are going. But you know what? We talked to two people who are on a bet team at Casinos USA, and that's Monica and Johnny. And these are big time gamblers. You know, I'm a gambler. These are big time gamblers, and they said they're very interested in going. So be prepared, guys. If you have a podcast, you're going to meet some people that gamble with Tony and Monica around the country. Oh my goodness! I'm just hoping that they're sincere and they want to go with us. We're kind of excited about that. Jerry and Elaine from Casinos USA. We're at the Meadows Casino this weekend, and I can't wait to hear how they did. We're regulars down there. We stay at the Hyatt, which is connected to the Meadows in Washington, Pennsylvania. But Janie and I are leaving this week off to Rocky Gap. We've been going there so often, but you know why? They give us free rooms one a week, even Fridays and Saturdays. So we're heading out on Wednesday to Rocky Gap Casino, and that's in Flintstone, Maryland. Oh, what a beautiful location. So anyway, Casinos USA, a place where every day is Saturday, where we pursue that promise that the Founding Fathers made, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in about 2 weeks. God bless. God bless the USA. And we want to thank Doug from Texas. I know it was tough during the storm, but we're so happy to hear that you made it through okay. So again, God bless the USA. See you in 2 weeks. Hey, every day is Saturday.